Gary Knowles Show. And now, your host, Gary Knowles. I still
remember. Hi, everyone. Music to get you up. A program that's going to share a lot of insights, commentaries, information, challenges, health and nutrition, commentaries and facts from Counterpunch, Ted Rall. I'm going to be sharing some of my own insights today and commentary concerning alternative facts. Remember how they slammed Kellyanne Conway for her alternative facts, and she was wrong, and she deserved to be chastised. Why didn't they hold the same standards to the other presidents? I'll be specific, give examples of how all administrations use alternative facts and the media reports these alternative facts, and what would happen if they did it honestly. Also today, we need an infrastructure in the United States. We need to have an infrastructure that puts people back to work, that helps our crumbling bridges and tunnels and water mains and gas mains and dams. We just saw the event in California of a dam that had not been rebuilt. Money went for other things. But unfortunately, not for it. They were talking about the problems with this dam for 10 to 12 years. Nothing was done. Well, I'm going to give you some deeply alarming insights about America's failed infrastructure and what we must do now that shouldn't be controversial at all. Helps America and helps people get back to work. Also, another person has come forward to talk about extinction, and this is David Lindorf, a person I have a great deal of respect for. He is extraordinarily qualified and capable, and he's writing from This Can't Be Happening, Looming Climate Catastrophe, Extinction in 9 Years. And we'll see where he's getting his facts. It's all cited. That is the third person who said 9 to 10 years. And there's a whole group behind them who've also said it. And I want to be the person who informs you that we have got to get back on looking at a new trade deal that's actually been in works longer than the Trans-Pacific Partnership. So the TTP is really not dead. It's been morphed into something called the Trade in Services Agreement. And Pete Dolok from Counterpunch is sharing this. I'm passing it on to you, so we shouldn't feel good about that not happening now because there's something to taking its place. Also, new delinquent U.S. car loans at an 8-year peak. That's according to the new Fed survey. So what does this mean? This is from Reuters. It means that people are behind on all their payments. They just mentioned cars. I'm going to show you all the other things they're behind on today and what we need to do about it. And also, there's no place like home. Well, unless your home's being foreclosed on and you're being evicted. From The Guardian, how bad is it? It's bad and getting worse. So why is it that we're given the impression that everything is good? That, look, we've got a booming economy. Stock market is breaking new ground every single week. But it's all an illusion. Well, at least for 275 million people. And for the others, about anywhere between 50 to 55 million Americans, they're doing fine and they'll continue doing fine. It's the rest of us I'm concerned about. That's our program. I will be taking calls. We're going to have a talkback segment later on. So I'll have a chance to see what's on your mind, how we can address those issues. Let's begin. Consuming saturated fat, animal fats, increases the risk of type 2 diabetes. This is from University of Virginia in Spain, and it says, the consumption of butter, which is rich in saturated fats and trans fats, has been related to a high risk of suffering from diabetes. Now, why is this important? Because think of all the people in India that have a form of butter called ghee, and think of the people who are following the Weston Price diet that advocates high animal protein consumption, eggs, beef. Now, they don't want it to have hormones. They believe you should have the free-range chickens, but it doesn't change the fact that it's still an animal saturated fat rich in arachidonic acid. For those of us who have looked at the scientific literature, we have been misled for almost 50 years about the health of margarine. It is not. It's a very dangerous product. No one should be using it. But also animal fats are also dangerous. And we, the proponents of evidence, thousands of studies, peer-reviewed literature show that plant-based fats such as coconut, flaxseed, olive, avocado, walnut, these oils are the healthy oils. So this is the latest one. Quote, recently, dietary guidelines for the general population have shifted towards a plant-based diet rich in legumes, whole grain cereals, fruits, vegetables, and nuts, and low in animal-based foods like red meat and pastries. Increasing evidence is suggesting that plant-based diets are beneficial for health, and they also have less impact on the environment. Researchers at the Unit of Human Nutrition at the University of Virginia in Spain, in collaboration with other centers from the pre-med study from Harvard University, have evaluated the association between total and subtypes of fat intake and the risk of type 2 diabetes. And then it goes on to talk about the dangers. And this was published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. Takeaway message, get off the animal proteins and you've got something in the way of good fats from when you have some walnuts, when you eat sunflower seeds. Pumpkin seeds are extremely good. From the University of Buffalo, in America, less education often means more chronic pain. What did that mean? Older Americans with less money and are less educated are much more likely to suffer from chronic pain than wealthier adults with more education. Now, a new study suggests the disparity is even greater than previously believed, as much as 370% greater in some categories. The results, based upon 12 years of data on 19,000 people, 51 years and older, and they excluded people with cancer and other kinds of diseases, but chronic pain levels are also rising by time period, not just age. Meaning people who were in their 60s in 1910 reported more pain than people who are in their 60s in 1998. Quote, there's a lot of pressure right now to reduce opiate prescriptions. In part, this study should be a reminder that many people are legitimately suffering from pain. Healthcare providers should not assume that someone who shows up in their office complaining of pain is just trying to get an opiate prescription. We have to remember that pain is a legitimate and widespread problem, end quote. So the study serves as an argument for investing more into research for other treatments. Now, we're talking about tens of millions of Americans experience chronic pain. That means it's chronic. And according to the Institute of Medicine, that's the government's official, repository of scientific information, and also this was reported through the National Academy of Science, the medicine division, that chronic pain affects more people and costs the economy more money than heart disease, cancer, and diabetes combined. Yet most research You never look at pain. Now, this is published in the journal Pain. So I have a solution here. And I'll be doing a specific study just on pain in about 4 months when I return. We know that pain is due to pro-inflammatory cytokines and other... Where did those come from? They come from the water we drink. If there's chemicals in the water, it comes from soft drinks and coffee, which is highly anabolic, and that can contribute to pain. It also comes from processed foods. Animal proteins are highly alcohol in any amount. And that's statistically when people would be drinking, they were afraid to drink water, especially those who were in the mercantile or the nobility classes. They would drink alcohol. And they had a lot of gout. They ate a lot of meat. Meat and alcohol together, you're really creating pain. And frequently it resides in the joints. When you give up all of the pro-acidic, highly acid-based foods and beverages, and you change over to an alkaline diet, which is a plant-based diet, there's a spectrum. Some foods are slightly acidic and slightly alkaline, and you want that. You want the juices. The green juices are very alkaline. Sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds. And do you know the most nutritious seed you can actually consume? More than sesame? More than hemp? Watermelon seeds. Yeah. In fact, I always travel with a package about a pound, 2 pounds at any given time of watermelon seeds. And you want to throw a little Himalayan pink sea salt in? That's fine. But that is the kind of snack you should have, especially if you're diabetic, especially if you're vegan, and especially if you have pain, because there are nutrients that turn off the pain. So then once you've stopped what is causing the pain, and then you start healing the body, eating lemon juice each morning, Now remember, when you're taking in anything, it's like a lemon that's citrus, that can and will hurt your teeth unless afterwards you use proper oral hygiene and brush your teeth. But a lot of people were making a big mistake. They were eating lemons and weren't washing their teeth afterwards. You can rinse your mouth out. That'll work fine because it takes time for the acid to get on the teeth. Even though it has acid in the body it turns to alkaline. So we could eliminate probably 50% of all pain in the United States if we changed our diet. Then, if we practice yoga and stretching twice a day for 20 minutes, that could help alleviate back pain. If we practice the Feldenkrais method or the Alexander method, then we could have better postural alignment so we don't have all these people as they age, as they lose muscle mass, their shoulders move forward and they end up with some form of scoliosis or curvature of the spine, poor posture. Correct your posture, and that can help a lot of other lower back pain. So we do have solutions. From the Deutsche Diabetes Zentrum Center in Germany, pizzas, burgers, foods like that, French fries, a single high-fat meal can damage your metabolism. Now, this is very important. Why? Because we've been led to believe by the food apologists, scientists who are paid through universities, they generally give a large grant to chair a department of nutrition, and then the person who gets that chair gets a lot of money, plus millions of dollars in research money goes into the university. They can pretty much do what they want with it. And a lot of universities live off funding from private industry. But there's a price to pay. You better have people on your staff that are getting that money who are in alignment with the company making a drug or a product or a food. So what you have is you have a lot of fast food companies give their money to foundations so they don't have to pay taxes on it. Then the foundation gives that money to universities. The university then has a professor of nutrition from a prestigious university who goes forth and says, look, yeah, if you drank 500 cans of a artificially sweetened soft drink, there may be some trouble with your liver or metabolism, but be realistic, 500 cans? Well, I know a lot of people that would drink 500 cans of an artificially sweetened beverage in 3 months. So it's real. Here they're saying, no, you don't have to eat pizzas and burgers and French fries for 2 to 5 years. One single meal, let me repeat that, one single pizza, burger, is enough, if it has high fat in it, to damage your metabolism. Quote from the study itself. The global proliferation of overweight and obese people and people with type 2 diabetes is often associated with the consumption of saturated fats. Scientists at the German Diabetes Center and the Helmholtz Center in Munich have found that even the one-off consumption of a greater amount of palm oil reduces the body's sensitivity to insulin and causes increased fat deposits, as well as changes in the energy metabolism of the liver. The results of this study provide information on the earliest changes in the metabolism of the liver that in the long term lead to fatty liver disease in overweight persons with type 2 diabetes. This was published in the Journal of Clinical Investigation. So if you want to know why we have an epidemic, a pandemic of liver disease, and why overweight people are more susceptible to liver disease, it's those French fries. It's the salami pizzas. That's what's doing it. It's the two cheeseburgers with bacon that you see advertised. Vitamin D can cut your risk of colds and flu. Queen Mary University of London says, quote, that you need vitamin D, and you can reduce the risk of respiratory infections. They are suggesting that you consume it daily. I agree. I suggest between 3,000 to 5,000 units a day, and this was published in the British Medical Journal. So vitamin D every day, and you reduce substantially. Now, if you take vitamin D with vitamin C, you really reduce your risk of a cold or flu every day. And also from Binghamton University, they found that a food additive in candy and gum could alter digestive cell structure and function, really messing up your digestion. And it's from something no one ever looks on the wrapper of what they're eating to see what's actually in there. And it is a titanium oxide. It's a common food additive, and people have been eating a lot of it for a long time. And but it does mess up your gut. And also from the University of Manchester, which is in the United Kingdom, vitamin B complex reduces schizophrenia symptoms. And this was a review of the worldwide literature. And they showed that high-dose vitamin C, that means B6, B12, B3, B8, B1, quote, can significantly reduce symptoms of schizophrenia more than standard treatments alone. This was published in Psychological Medicine. I have two issues with this. One, not the fact they did some good study. That's good. Published in peer-reviewed literature, good. But the fact that they have not challenged an underlying assumption before submitting the article, and that is, prove to me that schizophrenia exists. You can't. There's not a study in the world that can. I went back to do a whole historical review for a new documentary I've been working on for about 9 years now. It's almost finished in the next 12 months, called Manufacturing Madness. And I wanted to find out how we came to the notion of mental illnesses and what type of mental illnesses. And schizophrenia was a completely artificially man-made term. There is no such disease as schizophrenia. There are people who have imbalances in their temperament or personality, imbalances in their brain, their different defects in the brain. And these people then manifest symptoms that collectively they call schizophrenia. But there is no such thing as a standalone schizophrenia. In fact, you can't show me studies proving bipolar depression. I can show you studies that there is no such thing as a brain chemical imbalance that can be proven by any test. In fact, I have absolute irrefutable proof from the American Psychiatric Association's own literature and from previous top people there, including the author of one of the most important psychiatric articles on labeling disease. We've been led to believe this because they want to sell us drugs, supposedly for that, but they've never cured a person of bipolar or depression or schizophrenia. All they can do is change symptoms, generally putting a person into some form of chemical straitjacket. In any case, what they should realize is that many people suffering from emotional problems, what we would call mental health problems, need the B complex and are deficient. I've seen people, when given B12 and folic acid at high doses, have remarkable improvements. I've seen other people where 20 milligrams wouldn't work, but 50 milligrams did of a B complex, where you can have people change their behavior. So they're right about the B12 helping, but if they simply said B vitamins reduce mental symptoms or brain symptoms, I would agree with that. But that's for another discussion. They're on the right track. And from Jackson Laboratory, published in the journal Science, vitamin B3 prevents glaucoma in laboratory mice. And that's important. This was done at the Howard Hughes Medical Laboratory. So get your B-complex. It can certainly help you. I'm Gary Noll. That's the latest on health and healing. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. I'd like to welcome all of you. Thank you for tuning in and listening. I just got my latest report, and just over the telephones, not the computers, not the land-based stations, not your laptops, just the telephone, last week, in the last 5 days, 275,000. Whoa, what a number. So the minutes keep going up. People keep listening. I want to thank you all. A lot of people listening when they're out and about in cars and taxis and trucks, anywhere you're going. All you have to do is remember you got a telephone number you can call. Let me give you that number so that no matter where you're at noon, Monday to Friday, you can call this number and listen to the program live. 701-801-3662, 701-801-3662. But let's say you're just too busy, understandable, but sometime in the evening you just want to relax and listen to an archive show. I think it lets you go back to the last five shows. Here's a number to call to download an archive show. 701-719-9976. 701-719-9976. And I hope that you are, we put up on GaryNoll.com and PRN.FM, we put up my newest film for you to be able to watch. And by the way, in the last 5.5 weeks, it has won or is a finalist in 19 international film festivals. Wow. The most awards we've ever won for a film was Poverty Inc. And this is going to beat it. It'll probably be the most winning film in the world, as a documentary. And you never know when you're doing something how it's going to turn out. But boy, this is turning out really well. And so I'm very pleased that people are watching it. And most importantly, people are going to change. They're given the tools to change. Change and how it helps the world, helps the environment, helps the carbon footprint, lowers it, gets you healthier, reverses cancer and heart disease. So it's called Plant Codes, and you can go up to GaryNall.com or ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com, and you'll see on my main page, you'll see where you just click and you watch, and it's free. No charge to watch it. Also, I just want to mention that right now we are seeing the deep state show its hand. I didn't think I would see this early with Trump, but there is such fear of Trump. Now, the average person can fear him and disdain him. That's fine. But when the deep state goes this aggressive, you know that they're terrified that he could, since he's not their friend. He's not done business with them. He's not one of them. Now, Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton, they were right there in the lap of luxury. They were selected, then they were elected, and then they were rewarded. Just think of it this way, common sense and reason. If every single major Wall Street bank, Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, if all those banks are behind you, if every single major one of the 30 largest military industrial contractors are behind you, Lockheed Martin and Hughes Aircraft, if all of the major media are behind you, if all of the pharmaceutical industry is behind you, if all of the fossil fuel industry, big oil, gas, nuclear, is all behind you, then what does that say about you? Wow. What did the left do to lose its sense of reason and common sense? I mean, there's a good film on every Sunday night called The Walking Dead. And my God, it would be hard to distinguish some people today in their sense of logic from one of the zombies. They're just not alive. They're fully disconnected from just asking. If I knew that someone had nothing but terrible friends supporting them, and they were associating together, I don't want anything to do with that person. Now they're looking at Trump and they're saying, we don't want this guy. So they're going after him. That's the deep state. And the fact that they would go after Snowden really aggressively, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, all the people wanting him imprisoned, held accountable, as they did with Chelsea Manning, and yet now the people who are leaking in the intelligence agency, the National Security Agency, one that created the leak, and through the CIA and the White House, those people we're told, oh, those are patriots. You know, those are good people. Well, hold on. If someone leaks information and it's against the law, now you can look at what they leaked. What was the content of what they leaked? You can have something that seems as if it's an oxymoron. It's against the law, but the fact that something is against the law doesn't mean that it's unethical. An awful lot of laws have been implemented. Slavery was a law. So if someone broke the law of slavery, that did not mean that they were a bad person. To the contrary, we heralded those people who broke the law. I think that's extremely important that we understand that. So that's the key here. But how do you have it a double standard? If you're going to say that Snowden broke the law, but did he endanger America? No. Did he show what was being done that was illegal? Yes. Unethical? Yes. Immoral? Yes. The bulk collection of all data and looking and spying on every single person? Yes. That's what he reported. So if you're going to say he should be exposed, then you got to say the same people who exposed Trump should be exposed. But they don't do that. That's their double standard. So what I've done is this. I put together a 10-hour CD set. 10 hours. And this 10 hours goes into great depth on fascism. It's entitled Fascism, Inc., How America Has Become a Police State. Now, history is repeating itself, but it never repeats itself identically. Since 9/11, George Bush launches the Patriot Act and Barack Obama's signing of the National Defense Authorization Act, the U.S. is today completely turned its back on the principles of freedom and justice and liberty engraved in the Constitution. Instead, in praise of militaristic domination and corporate greed and power, in the myth of American exceptionalism, Washington and Wall Street has written a template for the emergence of a new fascism and a new police state. In the merger of government and private industry, eulogized by the fascist dictator Benito Mussolini and documented by the National Security Agency whistleblower Edward Snowden, is being witnessed everywhere today. But we've had this now for at least the last 30 years. And it shows itself in the Supreme Court Citizens United decision, the taxpayer bailout of Wall Street, where they were bailed out, trillions of dollars. We didn't get a nickel. No small business was saved. No one's home was saved. And this enormous inequality gap between the oligarchical rich and the American working population. So the answer is, educate yourself. I brought together America's finest minds on the subject of fascism, oligarchy, duopoly, totalitarianism, and police state, the militarization of our police state, asset forfeiture, people that you would not hear. In fact, you can't hear Professor Sheldon Wolin because he's passed, but he's here in an extensive interview on Constitution free zones where you're only allowed to speak the truth against power in certain select areas, nowhere else. And every single communication that you have in your life is being monitored and cataloged. The evisceration of the free press, the compromise of our press, the fact you can't trust the people. We also have the myth of American democracy and the emergence of inverted totalitarianism. Professor Joanne Galton on the fall of the American Empire and our decline into a full-fledged neo-fascist state and the return to a true republic. Chris Hedges, Professor Norman Pollack, Ray McGovern, Professor Henry Giroux, and on and on. 10 hours. 10 hours. This is a special, and this is a time you need to hear this. You got to get up to speed. You got to get ahead of the curve. If you listen to this 10 hours, you're going to be far, far ahead of anyone in the media because this tells the truth, and these are the finest minds on this subject I could find. I'm going to give you a number to call in order to get this, and I've reduced it down substantially to make it affordable for everyone in this audience. Call 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. You'll be saying hello to Bill or Diane, Stacy, Mila, the people who pick up the phones over there. 877-627-5065, Fascism USA. I want to share a few thoughts with you, and I'm between my commentaries. And I'm going to take some calls. Our number is 888-874-4888. This is going to be a talkback segment. I intentionally didn't have a guest today so we could get some of your calls in, see what are the issues that you find important. I'm going to share a couple different thoughts with you. The first is about that we're not protecting the American consumer. I'm suggesting that we write to the President of the United States and say, when you're out there doing all of your executive orders, why don't you write one of your orders to protect American consumers? Put a moratorium on all home foreclosures and have a meeting with all the congressional leaders and then a fireside chat with the American public, including all those people that the President of the United States said he cared about them. Well, why don't you do this? Let's get it so that there's no more home evictions and home foreclosures. That the most a person has to pay in order to live in a domicile is 15% of their income. Therefore, even a person on food stamps or welfare or unemployment, they would only have to put 15% of that. That still isn't enough money to exist. And as long as a person is not overburdened by how much they're paying in rent or mortgages, that gives them an opportunity to stay in that location, which also helps the value of surrounding properties, because when something becomes vacated, more often than not, it is trashed. Everything is ripped out of it. All the copper piping is ripped out. The wiring is ripped out. And it becomes frequently a drug den. So let's do an executive order, Mr. President, to protect Americans in their home. Now, you've already wanted to eviscerate, you know, the EPA, and you want to take away all the rules regulating banking and coal mining. Why don't you do something for the people, since not one of your orders has been anything pro-people? This is from The Guardian, just to give you an example of how severe it is. And I'll only give you a page of this. Even in the most desolate areas of American cities, evictions used to be rare. Rare enough to draw crowds, eviction riots erupted during the Depression, even though the number of poor families who faced eviction each year was a fraction of what it is today. A New York Times account of community resistance to the eviction of three Bronx families in February of 1932, observed probably because it was so cold, the crowd numbered only 1,000. Only 1,000 people turned up in 1932? Whoa, you couldn't get 10 people to show up. There's been no demonstrations at all in America to stop home foreclosure. Quote, still, sometimes neighbors confronted the marshals directly sitting in the evicted family's furniture to prevent its removal or moving the family back in despite the judge's orders. These days, there are sheriff squads whose full-time job is to carry out evictions and foreclosure orders. There are moving companies specializing in evictions. There are crews working all day, every weekday. There are hundreds of data mining companies that sell landlords tenant screening reports listing past evictions and court filings. These days, housing courts swell, forcing commissioners to settle cases in hallways or makeshift offices crammed with old desks and broken filing cabinets. And most tenants don't even show up. Low-income families have grown used to the rumble of moving trucks, the early morning knocks at the door, the belongings lining the curb. In America, families have watched their incomes stagnate or even fall, while their housing costs have soared. Median rent has increased by more than 70%. Meanwhile, only one in four families who qualify for housing assistance receives it. In the nation's biggest cities, the waiting list is not counted in days or months, but in decades, meaning you could wait 30 years if you're a poor person to get into a public housing. The typical poor American family does not live in a public housing, but receives no government assistance whatsoever. The result today, the majority of poor renting families in America spend more than 50% of their income on housing, and at least that's the one in four dedicates more than 70% to paying rent. Wow. Could you imagine 70%, 70% of your income goes to rent? Just keep the lights on. It is estimated, quote, that millions of Americans are evicted every year because they can't make rent. In Milwaukee, Wisconsin, a city of fewer than 105,000 renting households, landlords evict roughly 16,000 adults and children every year. 16 families are evicted every single 24 hours in New York City. 60 marshals are going out every day to evict people. 2.8 million American homes are involved in rental evictions now. So I think that would be a humane and decent thing to do, an executive order putting a moratorium on all that foreclosure. A separate thing I want to deal with is, let's take a call. Let's go over and say hello to Maria from Baltimore. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. Good afternoon, Gary. I'm so happy that you took my call. But I have wondered about buying watermelon, like when I was eating as a child and teenager, that had black seeds in them. I don't see those black seed watermelons anymore.
The black seed is no different than the white seed. It's just a different form of crossbreeding of the watermelon. Because a lot of people spit the seeds out and didn't want the seeds, so the growers began to cross-pollinate them. This is not artificial genetic engineering. This is not GMOs. You can easily do this. But that means they're both good. So whether it's a white seed or a black seed, they're both edible, high in protein, amino acids. They're very high in phytonutrients. So eat either one. They're both good for you.
And I guess I've been thinking wrong, and thank you for explaining about the colors of the seeds, and I'll try to eat more watermelon. I don't know if I can buy the seeds just by themselves.
You can go into any health food store, and you can get a bag of the seeds, and there's different companies. I don't want to promote anyone, but you can now get what are called raw, go raw. G-O-R-A-W, go raw. They have sunflower, pumpkin, sesame seeds, and you can get them with Himalayan sea salt or no salt. And you just put a bunch of them in a bag and just carry it around with you.
Okay? All right.
They're not that expensive either. And let me just give you an idea. You can get about in one single serving, which is like enough put in the palm of your hand, about 10 grams of protein. That's a good amount of protein. That's more protein than there are in two eggs. So use that. All right, Maria? Nice to talk with you down in Baltimore. All the best to you. Again, I am taking calls today on TalkBack at 888-874-4888. And we just spoke with Maria from Baltimore. I want to mention that Ted Rohl from Counterpunch did an article called Before Trump, the Media Loved Alternative Facts. Here's what he says. He says, Kellyanne Conway's notorious praise of alternative facts demands highly caffeinated contempt. But let's not forget an inconvenient truth. Pre-Trump, the watchdogs of democracy were mostly lapdogs, gently licking the blood-soaked hands of those who fed them, America's political and corporate elites. Media malpractice has been so sustained and widespread, it's hard to know where to start. Opinion pages and cable news panel shows where no one to the left of Hillary Clinton is allowed. The abandonment of local news coverage, massive social and economic upheavals ignored because they only afflict the poor and the middle class en route to poor. The rusting of the Rust Belt. The meth and opiate epidemics, the replacement of good jobs by bad ones, the faking of low unemployment and inflation rates. Editors and producers are guilty of many sins. For my money, however, the biggest and lyingest are the big lies of omission that leave important facts unknown to the public for years and even decades, result in many deaths, and let the perpetrators off the hook both legally and historically. August publications such as the New York Times have finally began reporting that the president lied when he, you know, lied, as opposed to some weasel word like misspoke or counterquoting from an opposing politician. They're even using torture to describe torture instead of enhanced interrogation techniques. But that's news. And it's only because they're corporate liberal and Trump is blogosphere crazy right wing. Give them another Obama, and it'll be back to giving the people the business as usual. The high body counts of war spotlight the staggering moral failures of a press that, day after day, fail to remind readers of fundamental truths that usually get suppressed from the outset. For the better part of a decade, American citizens paid good money for newspapers that purported to bring them the news from Vietnam. What those papers never told them was that the reason LBJ gave for entering the war in 1964, the attack on American ships in the Gulf of Tonkin, never happened. This isn't controversial. Liberal or conservative historians agree alike. The war was sold on fake news. Imagine if the media had begun every story about Vietnam with a Trumpish reference to Johnson's big lie, saying, continuing unprovoked attack on North Vietnam, the United States B-52s rained death on Hanoi without reason. Significantly less than 58,000 Americans and 2 million Vietnamese might have died. After the U.S. loss, which they reported as a withdrawal rather than what really happened, lazy and easily cowed journalists and editors let stand the canard that returning war veterans were spat upon, insulted as baby killers, and generally mistreated as dirty lefty hippies waiting for them at the airport. It never happened. To the contrary, the anti-war movement was supportive of vets, running clinics and facilities to help them out. I know that because I was a part of that, by the way. The myth of the spat-upon hippie, it turns out, began with the 1982 movie Rambo, when Sylvester Stallone character says it, probably as a metaphor. Afghanistan's Taliban government had nothing to do with 9/11, but few Americans know that. Even the soldiers sent to fight, kill, and die there thought they were avenging the attack on the World Trade Center. And why not? Thanks to the Bush-era fake news purveyors, few of even the best-read and most informed Americans know that Osama bin Laden was already in Pakistan on 9/11, that the Taliban offered to arrest him and turn him over to the U.S. And if the U.S. showed some evidence of his guilt, that Al-Qaeda had fewer than 100 members in Afghanistan. The vast majority were in Pakistan, as were the infamous training camps, and that there wasn't a single Afghan among the 19 hijackers. Well, would Afghanistan have become America's longest war if news headlines had read something like, Bush promises to hunt down bin Laden and Al-Qaeda in country where they aren't, sends weapons and cash to country where they are? Doubtful. The media fell down on the job during the buildup to the Iraq War, and that's well documented. Yet even after the weapons of mass destruction failed to turn up in the country, after we destroyed it, the media never applied the standard they now stick on Trump, the continuing unjustified assault on innocent Iraq, Marines prepare for battle in Fallujah. Talk about fake news. Even if Saddam Hussein had had weapons of mass destruction, Iraq's lack of long-range ballistic missiles meant it never could have posed a threat to the United States. In conclusion, alternative facts abound under Obama. Obama launched hundreds of drone attacks against Pakistan, Afghanistan, Somalia, and Yemen, and elsewhere that killed thousands of people. Studies show that 49 out of 50 people killed, that's 99%, were innocent bystanders, and that the other 1% were guerrilla fighters who hated their own local governments, not anti-American jihadists coming to kill us here. Yet story after story about drone assassinations referred to victims as militants or even terrorists without a shred of evidence. If you're going to let your president kill people just for fun, the least the media as a watchdog could do is call it as it is. Quote, president murders 14 more Muslims because it was fun. Do you know the military calls them squirters because their heads, you know, blow up? The president called out as a liar? Well, it's taken a long time. My thoughts on this, and then I'll take some calls. Under President Bush, and these are all historically accurate facts, Iraq was building nuclear weapons and weapons of mass destruction. That's what we were told. Colin Powell at the UN. Niger had yellow cake and the aluminum tubes, remember? That was all fact, but it was a lie. That's fake news. Iraq was involved in 9/11 and was supporting Al-Qaeda. That's what they said. I'm quoting verbatim. Lies. Some of bin Laden's tapes, forensic indicates it was an actor, not bin Laden. The 9/11 Commission conclusions, they were lies. Later, Iraq sent its nuclear weapons to Syria for hiding. Lie. Chalabi's Iraq National Congress was an independent, homegrown Iraqi faction. Lie. The U.S. is safer from terrorism. Lies. Saddam could launch a chemical or biological attack on the U.S. in 45 minutes. Lie. The U.S. is committed to creating a viable independent Palestine state. Lie. The U.S. is abiding by General Convention on its treatment of prisoners. Lie. The Iraqis greeted U.S. invaders with open arms and celebrations. That was, by the way, not only was that a lie, we now know that was all staged footage. It was all fake footage. The U.S. has vanquished the Taliban. Lie. The entire war on terror is largely alt facts. God told Bush to invade Iraq. Well, that might have been true, because you know how nuts Bush is. So those are alternative facts. Under Obama, Libya, Gaddafi was oppressing his citizens, and NATO regime was sent in to protect Libyan citizens. Lie. Assad in Syria was using poisonous gas on his citizens and rebels in Syria. Lie. Ukraine was not a coup. The U.S. was not behind it and was due to Russian infiltration into Ukraine. Lie. Russia-backed rebels in Ukraine shot down a land-to-air missile, Malaysian Flight 17, and forensics showed that it was also shot by another fighter jet. Lies. Assassination of Osama bin Laden, serious evidence suggests it was staged. Obamacare, health insurance premiums will drop. Lie. James Clapper was caught lying about the National Security Agency. Was he held accountable? He broke the law. Was he charged with perjury? No. Fast and Furious, the Department of Justice and alcohol and tobacco, gun running operations, allowing guns to be sold to a Mexican drug cartel in hopes of recovering some of the information they wanted. The Trans-Pacific Partnership and the TTIP would be good for American business and employment. Lie. Unemployment rates dropped so much during Obama's administration, went down to less than 5%. Lies. The actual figures are 23%. TARP and other bank bailouts saved the economy. Wrong. Lies. It created a permanent bailout. It was a Ponzi scheme. Obama's foreclosure relief program was to help homeowners. Lie. It did not. Obama's Department of Education was to help the students. Not true. And they also told us that GMOs were not bad for us. I have 1,000 different fake news that I could cite, but that's just to give you an idea of how bad they lie. We've always had fake news. Let's say hello to, let's go to George in New Jersey. Hi, George, your turn. You're on the air, George. Please speak up. All right, we'll take David from Brooklyn. Hi, David.
Hi, Gary. Thank you very much for all that you do. You're just wonderful. Thank you. You often mention bad foods like pizza and bagels and so forth, but, you know, a lot of people eat bread. Is there any bread that would be all right to eat? I mean, is there a type of bread that you would suggest?
Yes, David, I would. In fact, there are several types of bread. These are gluten-free. The most nutrient-dense, very good for you, would be essene, E-S-S-E-N-E. Essene bread is a sprouted bread. In fact, I used to make it in workshops up at my Fertiller farm. I had a French brick oven that I built into the side of the kitchen, and to show them how people used to bake it, and still do in some areas of the world, in the old countries, in Spain, in Italy, where they had these ovens that were on the outside of the house, and would heat the whole house, especially when it was cooler.
Yes.
The essenes can come in savory, or they can come with nuts and dates in them. And they're a living food, so they're rich in enzymes and delicious. Then there's also what is called Ezekiel bread. It's also a sprouted bread, and it comes in multiple flavors. You can get it in cinnamon, raisin. You can get it in a sesame, and it's got all the different sprouts. There's no gluten in it, and it's extremely nourishing, and it has a much nicer mouthfeel to it and nice nutrients in it. So you could substitute Ezekiel bread for any of the other breads that you would normally have that are just nothing more than refined carbohydrate. Okay, David?
Sprouted wheat and gluten-free.
Yeah, they're gluten-free. And they're from sprouted wheat. All right?
Thank you so much, Gary.
All the best to you, David. Let's say hello to Benjamin from Jersey City. Hi, Benjamin. Your turn.
Hello, Gary. I really enjoyed the show today, as usual. With the cost of living going up and people working for less wages, some people think it's an orchestrated effort and conscious effort to make it happen. Do you think it's like that, or do you think it's just people are apathetic and no one cares to deal with the problem?
No, I don't think it's intentional. I've seen no evidence of it. I think it is a consequence of the people who are in control and power taking everything for themselves and leaving nothing for anyone else. Their mindset is, if I made it on my own, then you could make it on your own. And if you're not, then you're lazy or you're choosing not to be assertive without understanding that the vast majority of people are not aggressive. They are looking for quality leadership. And what we do not have across the spectrum, we certainly have it in certain places, are people who have a high moral and spiritual value, and they bring that into the workplace, and they would not allow people to be exploited. And the vast majority of people who have that higher moral value are people who have their own businesses. They don't have anyone backing them. They only have themselves, and therefore they have to have better relationships with the people they work with. And that's why you frequently see people with a small business person working their whole lives. They don't have to, but they choose to, because they'd rather work with someone who every day there's no guarantees there's going to be another day. So they have to be at the top of their game every day. They have to be sensitive to what their customers need. You know, if you own your own restaurant, you can't be indifferent about the chef. Well, I'm not feeling like I should make a really good effort today. Well, you better make a good effort today. And the person serving it, I don't think I'm going to be nice to those people. I don't think I'm going to be really caring if they like their meal. No, you better care. If they didn't eat everything on the plate, say, is there anything that you didn't like about the meal? And if they, well, I didn't really care. Let me give you another portion. Let me give you something else. When you get out of the corporatocracy, when you get out of the place where 80% of your time is spent thinking about how you keep your job and only 20% working on your job, and it's all political theater, and it's all highly competitive, and everyone is looked at as a replacement for you, and it's a hostile environment, that's completely different than working in harmony and cooperatively with people because you're sharing a common goal to have a secure future but a happy time and work together in a pleasant environment and serve the public need. That's what we need more of in America. So I appreciate your input there.
Well,
I've noticed
that in corporate America, if you really work hard, some people resent it. They don't like hard workers in many cases.
I agree, but that is more the idea that if people get comfortable and complacent and you come in with some ideas that can make things better, if they have to change, they're going to be resentful of the change that they have to make in order to accommodate your growth. So I certainly appreciate and can understand your meaning there, Benjamin. Harvey from Berkeley, California. Hi, Harvey, your turn.
Hi, Gary. Well, as you know, Gary, one of the main reasons that we fight wars like the Iraq War is for resources like petroleum. And as far as I'm concerned, President Trump is owned by the petroleum industry. For example, he talks about bringing the jobs home, creating more jobs for Americans. It turns out that the solar industry has become a key resource, a key source of jobs for returning vets. Nearly 1 in 10 solar workers are veterans. And right now, there's a federal government program from the Office of Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy called Solar Ready Vets. But the program may be in peril because President Trump has promised deep cuts in the Department of Energy, and the Solar Ready Vets program could be on the chopping block.
I would agree with you. And if you've been listening to any of my commentaries about President Trump, you know my feelings towards his level of competency. I also don't believe that he will last 2 years in office. And I do not believe because he will be forced out by the left and the corporatocracy and the oligarchs and the deep state supporting it. I just do not believe that his immature temperament can tolerate not having the control and outcome. And at a certain critical point, he will be like the boy that if he can't win, he wants to go home. Also, I believe that his own industries will be adversely affected to the point where it will be too costly for him to stay. And he just doesn't see this as a commitment to all Americans. He sees this as a commitment first to himself and to those who are in alliance philosophically and economically with him. As I've said it many times, if you want to change the government, you have to change the people who profit from it. And the people who profit from it are all corporate interests. The military-industrial complex, the large energy cartels, the farming cartels, big agra, the medical-industrial complex. These are the people who have been gorging themselves at the taxpayer expense and always to our detriment for decades, for at least the last 45 to 50 years. You have to come in there with an idea that you have to take away the power that they have and give it back to the people. In effect, you have to downregulate the government to serve the people, just like the police should be there to protect and serve, not to punish and enforce. And we could empty out at least 75% of all the people in our prisons if we had that. We could approve laws that we should have had a long time ago, like repeal of all drug laws and have universal health care. But you can't do that if the person who's in power is only able to hear what other people in power have to say. And that is, you have all this disparate people coming together who are all successful, but not one of the people selected by either Trump, Clinton, Bush, or Obama, not one, we're talking about thousands of appointees now, have actually made the life better for the average person, the working class person. They've made it good for themselves and for their corporations, but they don't have that experience. So we're using the wrong methods. So you have to pull out of that system completely. And as Trump will see, he may have surrounded himself with billionaires, but the billionaires made their money by exploiting people, not enhancing their well-being. So yeah, he could be putting his money and helping vets with solar, but also with geothermal. We have enormous amount of geothermal springs in the United States that could probably power 1/10 of all cities in America, and it's free. And we have wind power. So your entire coastline, 165 million people live within 100 miles of the coast, could be used for wind power, wave power, I should say, and a whole new technology and bladeless wind power. But they're not using it because he's aligned himself with coal, signed an executive order just yesterday, and he's aligned himself with nuclear. So he's not going to change. No one around him is going to change. No member of Congress is going to change. The media are not going to change. The major industries are not going to change. No single foundational source of power is going to change. Power never changes. You simply have to detach your power from that power in order to re-empower yourself. I thank you very much for your calls, everyone, from Harvey, from Berkeley, from Benjamin, from Jersey City, from Maria, from Baltimore, from David, from Brooklyn. And George, we didn't get yours, but I want to thank all of you for calling in. Look forward to sharing more on our next program. Have a nice day, everyone.